Okay, so this is a report for Irish indie media. We're in the sweltering heat here of southern Lebanon. It is July 30th, 2007, and we happen to be in Cana for the anniversary of the terrible massacre which occurred here during the Lebanese-Israeli war, when Israel made a massive offensive towards southern Lebanon especially, and really obliterated a huge amount of villages and caused a terrible strife for families, and also committed some terrible murders against innocent people here. We have been joining many families who are mourning their lost ones here because scores of people were killed in this village during the war last year. We're talking to Shane Cullen, who's going to speak a little bit about the day's events and why a number of activists from Derry Anti-War Coalition have decided to come here for the past 4 or 5 days.
My involvement with this event was I had made a phone call to Caoimhe Butterley maybe about 6 weeks ago, and I'd seen an article by her on the internet describing what was going on in northern Lebanon with the kind of trouble in the Palestinian camps and the suppression of that by the Lebanese army. And I was very anxious to get in touch with Caoimhe again, because quite a while since I'd seen her. And at the end of the article, there was her mobile number, Lebanese mobile. So I gave her a call, and during the conversation we had, she mentioned that Eamon McCann was coming to southern Lebanon with a group of the Derry Anti-War Coalition. And I then rang Eamon to find out when he was going to be here, and Eamon said yes, he was making the trip, and it was with a group of activists from Derry. And during the conversation, he suggested to me that I might be able to make a stone for, or make a kind of a memorial stone or plaque for the event, which is the this is the anniversary of, which is the 30th of July. So I set to work on the project, and Eamon sent me the text that he wanted used on the stone, and I hastily had it translated into Arabic, because I felt that obviously it was going to have to be in Arabic to be understood by the people here. Not everybody speaks English, and Arabic is the first language. But I managed to get the work off the ground before I had to leave on a trip to Palestine, which I had planned to go and work on a house rebuilding program for the Palestinians. So I guided the project along, really, using texting on my phone and talking to people in Ireland. It wasn't without its hiccups. People were going on holidays in Ireland. Stonemasons seemed to take their holidays all at the same time of the year. But happily we found somebody, a man called James Gogarty in Dundalk, who was willing and well capable of inscribing the stone. The stone I chose was a piece of blue limestone from Kilkenny, which is a very characteristic stone of Ireland. And we had the stone inscribed and then shipped out here, courtesy of DHL in Dublin, who pulled out all the stops and got it here. And it actually just got here this morning, in fact, because of a hold up in customs. Really, it was an idea that Eamon had suggested, and I was very pleased and honoured to be asked to do this work. The significance of it to people here in Cana, I think, is very important. I think that it symbolises a kind of a a solidarity between Ireland and the suffering of people here in southern Lebanon, but particularly between Derry and Cana, as Derry was also a location for crimes committed by the military against the civilian population.
Yeah, it's a very poignant, nostalgic place that we're in. We're maybe 15 meters away from the graves of 29 people who were killed in that massacre by the Israeli offense forces this time last year. Completely innocent civilians housed up here in Cana. Complete indiscriminate bombing. We'll talk to the members of the Derry Anti-War Coalition, who include the Raytheon 9, a little later. Maybe, Shay, you can tell us what is inscribed on the stone in English. And I know one of the local women here said that a stone is worth 1,000 words. It's very difficult to articulate the emotions that are visible here today.
Yeah, well, the piece of text that I got from Eamon is a composite of from different sources, but I think is very appropriate and very, very strong. The text goes, Derry, Cana, the bodies lie in familiar shapes. No one who yearns for justice is a stranger. Nobody who dies for justice is forgotten. Cana, Derry, the miracle is love. And it's presented on behalf of the Derry Anti-War Coalition. I think Eamon used various sources for the text, one of which is the plaque in Derry to the Bloody Sunday massacre. Another source was a Patti Smith song that was written after the first Cana massacre, when the UN compound was attacked. And
that's right, that was in 1996, I believe, yeah, and it was over maybe 102 refugees who were killed in that bombardment, maybe more. Actually.
That's right, and along with UN troops, Fijian UN troops who were protecting them. So, I mean, Israel is responsible for war crimes, and we all hope someday that people who perpetrated this war crime will be brought to justice in international courts. I'm sure the people who have suffered, the victims of the crimes, will yearn for justice and will want to see justice for their children, for their wives, for their mothers. Really. What happened was unspeakable, and I know that people all over the world want to see these people brought to justice.
Absolutely. On a positive note, I'm not too sure if this is the first time you've been to Lebanon. I know that you've seen a lot of the destruction committed by the Israeli forces in Palestine, but you must also see very positive signs of how people continue to resist. And by building their homes, by continuing to live life, go to school, and just look after each other on a daily basis. And the last couple of days I've seen that the hospitality we've received has been fantastic. What have you seen recently in Palestine or in the last 24 hours here in Lebanon that have given new signs that there's hope for the future?
Yeah, well, I've seen that the spirit of the people, the resistance, the ability to endure the worst excesses of oppression, and the spirit of camaraderie and support for each other and love, really, that helps them to kind of get through these things. You know, the blackest days, both in Palestine and here in Lebanon, it's amazing how people have endured that. But Lebanon will endure, and Palestine will endure, and history will, I'm sure, kind of bear out the kind of struggles that the people are enduring and suffering now, but I hope and pray that things will change.
Do you have any projects that you're working on at the moment. I know that you've been working alongside Israeli refuseniks in the past, is that correct?
Yeah, I did a project with Israeli refuseniks, and in a way it was my first kind of, the first project I'd done that kind of addressed the conflict here. That was quite successful, but I think it was a little bit kind of, in a sense, it was off target. I think I've been looking for more appropriate kind of material to kind of carry through and express the ideas I'm feeling now, especially after my recent trip to Palestine. I went to a very good lecture by the historian Ilan Papp while I was there in Israel, and they finally managed to run Ilan Papp out of Haifa University, and he's on his way to Exeter to continue his writing and his work and his teaching. And he described a formula for a settlement in terms of between the Israelis and the Palestinians as one of acknowledgement first by the Israelis of the fact that they had driven out and there was an ethnic cleansing of the land that was appropriated in the creation of the State of Israel. Acknowledgement, accountability is another thing that he spoke about, that the Israelis do shoulder the blame and accept that they shoulder the blame. And the third thing was acceptance by the Palestinians that the Israelis are there now, and the acceptance that these wrongs that were perpetrated in the creation of the State of Israel could lead to a possible settlement, but a one-state settlement, which is really the thing people are talking about now. They're not talking about two states. Everybody knows that the two-state solution is really gone and on its last legs. But he proposed as a strategy three things, which were boycott, divestment by companies and corporations.
For example, Cement Roadstone Holdings that are participating in the building of the wall.
Absolutely, yeah, which I feel ashamed of as an Irish person. And I did say to people as we were standing next to the wall, and they were quite surprised when I said it to them, that there was an Irish company involved in supplying the cement for this wall. That, as well as sanctions, I think, if you know, Israeli society and the Israeli government are hugely sensitive to this, and we saw the South African apartheid system dismantled with not just power from the inside but support from the outside. And I think if the outside world takes the role of wanting to see a just settlement in the Middle East, then these kind of policies will bring the Israeli government.
Is it off? Okay, sorry, we got disturbed by some deconstruction work in the background here. They're practicing. Okay.
Sure, I think we covered.
Oh yeah, Cana never sleeps, that's for sure. So there was a beautiful ceremony here yesterday with over 1,000 local people, and the deconstruction work is still going on, so that's the noise we heard in the background. Apologies, you were saying about sanctions, boycotts and divestment.
Yeah, that these Israel and Israeli society and Israeli government is hugely sensitive to how it's perceived in the outside world, if international support is mobilized to implement these kind of policies, then I really think that Israel will be brought to the table and have to go about realizing a just settlement with the Palestinian nation.
Isn't there a problem in the event that for example, the average Palestinian family may have up to 6, 7, possibly even 8 children, and the Israeli families have, similar to Ireland, about 2.1 children. Isn't there, in reality, wouldn't it be very difficult for any pragmatic, diplomatic Israeli government to adhere to a one-state solution?
Well, you are right in the sense that there is this sense that the demographic clock is ticking now for Israel, and some Israeli politicians are even talking about transfer of the Israeli-Palestinians, the Palestinians who exist in Israel itself and who are about 20 to 20 plus percent of the population. But the international community really wouldn't stomach such kind of policies. Coexistence between the Palestinians and the Israelis is possible. I mean, on the basis of equal civil rights and civil and religious liberty. Really, I think that it's the only option left to Israel, apart from the military option, which it has tried over and over again. And the youth of Israel are demoralized. They don't want to continue warring with every neighbor in this region. And I was quite impressed when I was working on this rebuilding program with the number of young Israelis who were prepared to shovel cement, lift blocks, and sweat with all the international volunteers on this project to rebuild and rehouse Palestinian families. This part of the world is an ancient part of the world. It has a capacity to absorb difference since, you know, biblical times. And the Israelis really have to formulate a policy of making peace with its neighbors, or else it's just some ridiculous military operation being perpetrated in the region.
Yeah, that will never give them security either, which is supposedly what they're looking for. So it is in their vested interest to seek a peaceful solution through peaceful means, of course. Shane, we'll leave it at that, but maybe for the Irish listeners who feel somewhat challenged to become more educated about different groups that are currently working there, grassroots organizations, can you just give us an indication of what organizations on the ground there are providing or facilitating internationals to come and show solidarity or to work alongside Palestinian farmers or Palestinian school children and human rights organizations, as well, of course, there are many Israelis who are against their own government's policies at the moment. What groups have you been in contact with over the last couple of years?
Yeah, the groups I've come in contact with, the main group I've come in contact with is the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions, which is not a humanitarian group. It's actually a resistance to the occupation and rebuilding houses that are demolished by the municipality of Jerusalem or the civil authority of the West Bank is an act of resistance, because it costs the Israeli government a lot of money to demolish a house in terms of labor and mobilizing the army and whatever. They're one group I would highly recommend, even checking out their website or whatever. Another group who are who gave a talk when I was on that camp were the Combatants for Peace, who are former Israeli and Palestinian fighters who have now laid down the gun and are trying to become a lobby group politically to try and change things. In fact, there are 20 or more members of that group coming to Ireland within the next month or 2 months. So that's another group.
That's on a speaking tour, I presume, throughout Ireland.
On a speaking
Ireland.
Tour, and quite possibly to talk to former militants on both the Republican and Loyalist wings of the Irish struggle, to see how they became mobilised and how they got organised in terms of advancing the peace process in Ireland. Another group is the Breaking the Silence group, who are they're also soldiers who are now coming out and explaining to the public what kind of individual
sorry
what kind of individual sort of breaking the silence are soldiers who are initially they're in Hebron in the south of the occupied territories, which has a population of about 35,000 Palestinians. And
okay, we're getting called over here, Shane, so thanks very much for the time and the beautiful plaque that's been laid here at Cana for the first anniversary of a terrible massacre committed by the Israeli forces against the people of Cana. And thanks for your time and keep up the great work.
Thanks very much. Thank you.